reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, found on page 833, and we read Jeremiah 26, beginning at verse 8. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, as saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death, because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city, all the words you have heard. Now therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Philippians chapter 3, found on page 1257. And we read Philippians 3, beginning at verse 17. "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1117, and we read Luke 13, beginning at verse 31. "At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.' And he said to them, 'Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures. Today
and tomorrow. And the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text for today is found in your gospel lesson. I had to look kind of hard today to find any gospel in the gospel or any of the other lessons. But I think we do find a little bit of it in verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. This is our text. If you left your wallet or your purse on a public street in the middle of the sidewalk, where maybe 15 to 20 people pass by every minute, and it was stolen, would that be your fault or the other person's fault? I mean, is that just such a huge temptation that you couldn't possibly expect that anybody could resist it of their own will? And how long do you think that purse or that wallet would last there? 15 to 20 people passing by? Do you think it could last there any more than 5 minutes? Who thinks it could last there more than 5 minutes? One. Three. You're just humoring me, aren't you? Well, an interesting experiment was performed. Actually, it was two experiments. Have you ever watched the television show Brain Games? I saw it on there. And they put a wallet out on such a sidewalk. And at first, when they tried it, before the guy got back to the control booth where they had a hidden camera and were watching everything, somebody had already picked up the wallet and walked away. But then they did another interesting experiment. They set the wallet down, same place, same amount of people walking by, and they drew a red circle around the wallet. About 3 feet large, bright red paint, and walked away and went to the control booth to watch and see what would happen. 1 minute went by, the wallet was still sitting there. 5 minutes went by. The wallet was still sitting there. 10 minutes went by. The wallet was still sitting there. 20 minutes went by. The wallet was still sitting there. I can't remember the precise minute at which somebody finally picked up the wallet. But when somebody did finally pick up the wallet, they didn't stick it inside of their purse or inside of their pants. They looked around to see who had lost the wallet and started to ask people. Amazing, isn't it? How something so simple could affect people? When we do something wrong, whose fault is it? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. I'm often approached by people regarding someone they know. Sometimes it's a family member. Sometimes it's a close friend, fellow worker, or student. The person is concerned about them, the direction their life is changing, and wondering both what they can do and what God can do to help this person, to intervene in their lives. And every now and again, as people are talking to me about subjects like this, it's almost as if they don't think God is doing enough. You know, if all God could only do this, or if God would only do that. Sometimes they see the church itself as being the problem. And yeah, these are the words that God has given to the church. And yeah, we're supposed to live by them. But you know, if we could just forget about this one thing for a minute. Lower God's standards, just in this case. Not demand so much from people. If we could just get God to lighten up in this case, as if the problem lies with God and His care and His love and His mercy. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. You know, if you didn't already know what the next words are, you might be guessing that there would be something other than what Jesus says. You who kill the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, you're going to get it. I've had it with you. That's sort of what you'd expect. The way Jerusalem was behaving. And it's not only what they've done in the past. Now they're telling Christ Himself, the Son of God, somebody's coming after you. Herod wants to kill you. But it's not anger that comes from the lips of Jesus, is it? It's tenderness and love. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? The problem never lies with God. He is constantly reaching out to us. and to all those we know and love and care about. And it just doesn't stop with Him reaching out with His Word, with His sacraments, and with the people that He brings into the lives of others. As we follow Jesus to the cross, as we see Him being brutally whipped to the point of death, as His hands and feet are nailed to the cross, all the while people passing by and mocking Him and making fun of Him, and His disciples themselves deserting Him as He's being hoisted up on the cross. What are His first words? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Even after all that, God is reaching out. Now, the problem doesn't lie in the mercy of God. The problem is always in us. But until the day we die, God never stops reaching out. He makes our salvation so simple. He pays for all our sins Himself. And all He asks is that we trust Him and believe in the gifts that He has given. And though all too often there are those who, no matter what God does, never turn to Him, now and again, God's love reaches a heart you wouldn't expect it to reach. And even on the cross, we see an example of this. Next to Jesus are actually two thieves. One merely joins in the mocking of Jesus right up until the time he dies. But another is finally touched. He's not a man who's lived a good life. In fact, as he's dying on the cross, he admits to Jesus that he deserves to be there. But then in an amazing act of faith, he turns to Christ and says, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus says to him, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." Even in our dying breaths, God does not cease to reach out to us. And if we turn to Him even with our last breaths of life, He still receives us, just like a hen would gather her brood under her wings. And if God continues to reach out like that to us, we need to keep reaching out to others as well. Yeah, there are a lot of people that we reach out to. At the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, aren't going to respond. It's not your fault. And it's not God's fault. It's their fault. But like God, we keep on reaching. We keep on hoping. We keep on praying. And it might be that 10th time. It might be the 12th time. It might be the umpteenth hundredth time. And unfortunately, sometimes it's never. But we pray. And as with Christ, we will continue to reach out all our days. Even when people wound us and do harm to us, And we keep on sharing his love in hope that one day that one person may turn and receive the gift that God has already given to each and every one of us. Let us imitate Christ as he always works to gather his children. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.